Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
The United States military and its commander, President Trump, are busy rethinking America's nuclear weapons strategy and the circumstances where the president would order a strike. Now, here's President Obama 9 years ago.
I state clearly and with conviction, America's commitment to seek the peace and security of a world without nuclear weapons.
President Trump, for his part, hasn't talked much about America's nuclear arsenal since getting elected, but here he was during the campaign.
First of all, you don't want to say take everything off the table.
No, just
you're
nuclear.
A bad negotiator if you do
just
that.
Just nuclear.
Look, nuclear should be off the table. But would there be a time when it could be used? Possibly. Okay.
President Trump during the campaign there. Now, the president reportedly told his advisors over the summer that he wanted a return to Cold War levels of nuclear weapons, essentially a tenfold increase in the American arsenal. And the president was apparently talked down by his aides and has since denied that remark. But what's on the table and what's off with America's nuclear arsenal is really the point of the nuclear posture review. The Pentagon has drafted its review, and it now sits in the White House waiting for President Trump's approval. It calls for the development of smaller, lower-yield nuclear weapons, and it would also expand the circumstances under which the president might order a nuclear strike. Michelle Flournoy is here with me now. She served as the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy in the first Obama administration and is now Managing Director of West Exec Advisors. Michelle Flournoy, thanks for being here.
It's good to be with you.
Well, the Nuclear Posture Review gets updated pretty much every time we get a new president, so this memo is no different in that respect. But when you read the document this time, how much of a policy shift do you see between the Obama administration and the Trump administration when it comes to America's nuclear arsenal and whether we would ever use it?
I think there are a couple of very important policy shifts that we've seen in this draft document. We should remember that it's still in draft, but if we take this as an indication of the administration's intent, two big things that I'd cite. The first is, while it uses very similar language about when we would use nuclear weapons, it interprets that language differently. So usually the document says something like the United States would only consider using nuclear weapons in extreme circumstances to defend vital interests of the U.S., our allies, our partners. But what this document does is it reinterprets what extreme circumstances are. In the past, most administrations, Bush, Obama, have said extreme circumstances means somebody else has used a nuclear weapon or the U.S. has suffered a catastrophic attack, like a biological weapons attack, with millions of people affected. Here, they've seemed to broaden that definition to include things like large cyber attacks on our infrastructure or on our nuclear forces or command and control. So they seem to be opening up the possibility of the use of nuclear weapons in a broader set of circumstances.
Lots of policymakers, as you know, Michelle Flournoy, have been looking for a different incentive structure when it comes to cyber attacks that aren't necessarily on the internet, so that other countries, other actors, independent groups know that a cyber attack would be met with a severe response. Does this go to that aim, and does it strike you as appropriate or balanced?
You know, I think the fact that we have a nuclear arsenal is always in the background of any adversary's minds if they're launching a major attack on the United States, that those tools are already there. But I think to openly talk about nuclear use against cyber attacks, you open that up to become a new norm, you know, internationally, for others to contemplate the same thing. I'd much rather see an effort to try to negotiate a set of international norms that says, we're not going to attack each other's infrastructure with cyber, and that's a sort of no-go zone, almost like an arms control regime in the cyber domain. So I think lowering the nuclear threshold is not the right response. There are other ways to deal with the cyber threat problem.
So how's the world changed then, Michelle Flournoy, from the Cold War? I mean, many Americans still identify the nuclear arsenal with the Cold War, the mutually assured destruction between Russia and the United States. Of course, China's on the rise and they have a large arsenal as well. But the world now is full of threats of terror groups and independent actors and rogue countries like North Korea. Does the big Cold War nuclear arsenal still apply in today's world? How do planners look at that?
Well, again, it's always in the background as the ultimate form of deterrence. But for the last decade, the role of nuclear weapons in U.S. strategy has been shrinking because we're facing a very different world. And the size of the arsenal has come down by about, 85% since the height of the Cold War. Recent presidents have been more concerned about the risk of nuclear materials falling into the hands of terrorists or rogue states. And so they've put an emphasis on policing up nuclear materials that's weapons usable and or shoring up the nonproliferation regime. So this is sort of a going back to the future. I mean, it's a backward looking approach, in my view. We have to remember all of this costs money, and the full modernization that's described in the Nuclear Posture Review, it comes in at well over $1.2 trillion of investment over 30 years. I just think there are better things to be spending our defense dollars on to give a president real options for preventing conflict, deterring conflict, and if we have to, prevailing in conflict.
Before we let you go, Michelle Flournoy, there were reports earlier in the administration over the summer that when the president was briefed on the size and the capabilities of the arsenal, that he didn't like what he saw from the Obama administration with the size of the arsenal being reduced. He said he wanted it increased tenfold, or he wanted it to look like a Cold War arsenal. It seems like senior advisors sort of talked him down from that position. The White House has denied it. But you talk to people around town. I know how well connected you are. Did you hear that too through your friends? And even if you don't want to tell me that, what does it tell you about the attitude of this administration toward nuclear weapons?
What I understand is that the president made that comment looking at a chart that showed the dramatic reduction in the U.S. nuclear arsenal since the peak of the Cold War. And he came to that with a, bigger must be better kind of attitude. Well, that's not the case. One of the things that's been a real achievement of many administrations, Republican and Democrat, has been steadily pursuing nuclear arms control to reduce the nuclear danger, bringing arsenals down the world over, including Russia. So I just think he came to it with a mindset, not knowing a lot about the nuclear issue, unfortunately. And again, one of the things that's missing in this NPR is a focus on nuclear diplomacy. How are we going to get to our goals of reducing the dangers, reducing arsenals, reducing the role of nuclear weapons? What's the strategy there? There's virtually no discussion of the arms control component of U.S. nuclear policy in this document.
Michelle Flournoy, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Michelle Flournoy is Managing Director of West Exec Advisors. She was Undersecretary of Defense for Policy in the Obama administration.